If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and go into the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 12, and when you get there, you're going to back up three verses into Matthew chapter 11. So we'll start our reading this morning in Matthew 11, verse number 28, and read through verse number 8 of chapter 12. If you'd follow along with me in God's Word, today's message title is this: I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And I pray that it will be your burden and your desire as a child of God to have mercy. I will have mercy. And we must work at being merciful people. Jesus was merciful. And that's not often our natural tendency. You know what we tend to do? We tend to yearn as people for justice. And God says that He would rather have mercy than sacrifice. And I will have mercy and not sacrifice is today's message, if you'll follow along with me. And God's Word will be in reading in verse 28 of chapter 11 and continue on into chapter 12. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Look with me closely in verse 7. Jesus says, if ye had known, he's speaking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are doing their dead level best, those dirty, rotten dogs that they are. They're doing their dead level best to find some way to condemn the Lord and bring judgment on he and his disciples. And so they see the disciples walking through the corn, picking corn, eating corn on the Sabbath day, and they say, "Aha, we got you. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he in no way ever broke the law. It was not against the law of God for them to pick that corn and eat it on the Sabbath day." And he looks at the Pharisees. And at the Pharisees, he says, if you had known, if you'd been studying your Bible, if you'd known God's Word, if you'd known what the Bible says in Hosea 6:6, when he says in verse 7, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," ye would not have condemned the guiltless. He looks at these Pharisees, he says, you are all pompous in your religious apparel, and you're seeking and trying your dead level best to bring judgment against people who are trying to do their best to serve God. He says, if you'd known the Bible, if you'd known God's Word, if you'd known truth and had the Spirit of Christ, you would have known that the Savior, the Son of God, prefers mercy over sacrifice. I believe Hosea 6:6 is probably one of Jesus' life verses. If you keep your finger in Matthew chapter number 12 and turn back to Matthew chapter number 9. And verse number 10. Jesus has met Matthew. Matthew had got saved. He was a publican, the same Matthew that wrote the book of the Bible that we're in. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. He was, as far as the Jews were considered, that he was scum. The Bible says in verse number 10, it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house of Matthew, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What's Jesus doing? He's bringing up a message, a lesson that he tried to teach them two chapters ago. And he says, I've told you, boys, you pompous Pharisees. He says, I've told you what you need to learn. You need to learn what the Bible says. I love mercy above sacrifice. Here again in chapter 12, the same Pharisees, our text today, he looks at them, he says, boys, if you'd learn the lesson, he said, you would have not condemned the guiltless. Boy, that a sad thing. It's a sad thing for me to think that someone is pumped up with their religious pride in error to the Scriptures would condemn the guiltless. That's scary to me. Oh, I pray, Lord, help me not to be guilty of that. He said, if you'd known my word, if you had had my spirit, if you would have loved mercy above sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. May God help us to do that. He preaches the same message again to the same people. He says, I want you to understand something, folks. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm reminded of the story of the old preacher. Sunday morning, he preached John 3:16. Sunday night, he preached John 3:16. Wednesday night, he preached John 3:16. Sunday morning, again, John 3:16. Sunday night, again, John 3:16. Wednesday night, again, John 3:16. This went on for 3 or 4 weeks as people started to growl. What's wrong with him? Someone finally got the nerve to say, preacher, we're starting to get tired of that message. He said, well, I'll tell you what, when you get that one, I'll move on to another one. And Jesus, in this instance, he looks at these Pharisees, and when you get this one, I'll move on to another one. He says, but I want you to know something, guys. The Spirit of Christ is not a condemning spirit that brings judgment only, but it is a spirit that acknowledges judgment, but operates in love and forgiveness and peace and yearns to bring rest to the hearts and lives of the people that he is around. That's our Savior. That's our Christ. He says, I will have mercy. I pray you'll have the Spirit of Christ and you'll determine in your heart to have the same testimony of Christ. I will have mercy. I will have mercy. You may have someone in your world right now that you need to show mercy to. Jesus would say to you, have mercy. Have mercy. And in this text today, we'll find out how we can have mercy. Number one, I will have mercy because I will not be a Pharisee. I will have mercy because I will not be a Pharisee. Look at the Bible. It begins here in verse number 1 of chapter 12. It says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. So we meet up with the Pharisees. That's clear that they're not merciful. They're continuing to seek to find revenge and somehow shut up Jesus, the very end of their own religion, the Messiah. They're trying to silence him and condemn him. And on the Sabbath day, the disciples do something very interesting. I'll just tell you the thoughts I had the first time I studied this passage of Scripture as I saw the disciples. I see them. They're on the Sabbath. When's the Sabbath? What day of the week is the Sabbath? Everybody at the same time tell me the name. 1, 2, 3? Saturday. That's right. The Sabbath is Saturday. We do not worship on the Sabbath as New Testament Christians. We worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor every Sunday of our Lord's resurrection. And I'm going to spend some time with that, Lord willing, on Wednesday night talking more about the Sabbath and Sabbath keeping. There's a lot of concern and confusion about that. But on the Sabbath, on Saturday, the day of rest for the Jewish people, Jesus and his disciples were hungry. The disciples were hungry. They make their way through a patch of corn. It wasn't their corn. They weren't farmers. But as they go through the patch of corn, they're plucking a few ears and eating, and they get in trouble with the Pharisees for it. My first thought was, what in the world are they doing stealing corn? But I'll have you know something. You know, God's looking out for folks. There was a provision in the law in the book of Deuteronomy, I think chapter 24, that if you're hungry, you can take what you need to eat from somebody's corn patch. Now, I don't recommend that you drive past somebody's garden and say, that looks good, and I'll take it. I had that happen to me one time in Fletcher. I grew a garden, and where we lived was right on the main road. And I decided one year I was going to grow giant pumpkins. It was a lot of fun. And I tended to those things and tended to those things. In addition to my three or four giant pumpkins, I had a little patch of smaller pumpkins. And I was driving the bus one day picking up kids, and one of my boys, he spoke kind of broken English. He got on the bus. I loved him very much. And he said, Pastor, we sure would like one of them pumpkins. Well, I said, well, you just go on and get whatever you want. And I forgot that I had said that, and I came home from vacation, and I had been nurturing these three pumpkins. I had one. It was huge. It must have weighed 300 pounds. I got home from vacation, and my big pumpkin was gone. And I'd forgot the conversation I'd had with Mr. Angel on the bus. His name was literally Angel. I forgot about that, and I was growling and complaining. Somebody stole my pumpkin. Can you imagine somebody backing down my driveway, and it took two men to throw it in the back of their truck? Can you imagine somebody took my pumpkin? Well, as I was complaining, I was driving the bus the next Sunday, and the little boy got up on the bus, and he rubbed his belly. He said, them pumpkin pies were so good. She must have made 500 of them. I don't know. I said all that to say this. I don't recommend that you go by somebody's garden and just get whatever you want. But in the Old Testament law, there was a provision. If a person was traveling, they could get what they needed to eat. So they plucked the corn. They weren't stealing. They weren't breaking the law. But the Pharisees, they had become so stringent and so unkind and unreasonable about their law and their traditions. It wasn't the law of God, but their traditions that and their preferences that they had determined that if you picked one ear of corn to eat on the Sabbath day, you were breaking the law and you were defiling the Sabbath and you weren't keeping that commandment. And they said, if you start eating that corn, then we will hold you accountable for not only harvesting on the Sabbath day, but we'll hold you accountable for gleaning on the Sabbath day. And neither of those things were true. But they held to it with the core of their being. They said, ha ha, we've caught Jesus. The Pharisees, every time you meet them in the Scripture, they got a chip on their shoulder and they got a certain amount of arrogance, and they are so determined to protect something that they have deemed their little rotten baby that they're unwilling to see things how they are. They're unwilling to be rational. They're unwilling to be reasonable. They're unwilling to be spiritual, Christian. They're unwilling to be merciful. And Jesus says, I will have mercy. And if you're going to have mercy, you can't be like a Pharisee. The Pharisee, first of all, worshiped the Sabbath. The Bible says it was the Sabbath day, and they're like, aha, we got them. There were two things that the Pharisees exalted even above the Messiah, for sure. They exalted the Sabbath because they found out we can use this Sabbath tradition as a way to put people in bondage, and they can become subservient to us. They used the Sabbath and circumcision, and those two things were so vitally important to the Jewish mind and to the Pharisees that they just got carried away with it. I want you to know something. There are things that you love and things that have become easy for you to do and adhere to in the name of Christianity that may not be biblical or sound, But it's easy for you. And you find out there's certain things that you can do easily. And when you can do it easily and it's your thing, it's easy for you to look down your nose at other people who don't do it. You know, I don't struggle with some of the things that you do. And you don't struggle with some of the things that I do. But God deals with us mercifully. Don't be a Pharisee. The Pharisees had loved the Sabbath. Don't be a Pharisee. Do you know what the Pharisees like? They preferred hunger over help. These disciples, the Bible says in verse 1, they were hungry. They were hungered. And they did what was right. Jesus allowed it. He never broke the law. Jesus allowed it. They were hungry. The Pharisees didn't care what you needed. They didn't care what you wanted. If you broke their little rule that they dreamed up themselves, they condemned you. They condemned you. They preferred hunger over help. In chapter 9, we read it just a minute ago, they preferred hurt over healing. The Pharisees were just happy to look down their nose and be unkind toward the publicans and the sinners and the Jewish people who had departed from their tradition and their faith. They preferred to be able to condemn them than for Jesus to go and eat with them and help them. Matthew, who wrote this book of the Bible, according to the Pharisees, had condemned himself to a point of no return. But Jesus gave him life and hope and eternal life and mercy. The Pharisees preferred hunger to help, hurt to healing. The Pharisees preferred fault finding and separation over peace and unity. Here's what they did. They were looking. They saw it, verse 2, but when the Pharisees saw it, they're like, aha, we saw it. But they were looking. They were looking. All through the Scriptures, even again in this chapter, we find the Pharisees, they were looking for opportunities to catch Jesus in his words and ask him questions, trying to trick him and fool him. Do you know what's funny? People who think they can fool Jesus. Silly, isn't it? The Pharisees didn't fool Jesus by covering up their outside with garments and neglecting their inside full of rottenness and sin. Nor do you, nor do I. The Pharisees thought, aha, we can trick Jesus. You'll never trick Jesus. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Oh, may we be so serious and sincere about not being a Pharisee. They were fault-finding. They were watching. We saw you. We saw it. And they said, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. They weren't looking to find unity and get an answer and have peace with God. They were looking to hold the line for themselves and for their flesh and their own pride. He says, that which is not lawful. They said, your disciples do that which is not lawful. Do you know how deceived that these people were? The Pharisees were so deceived that they exalted what they believed to be true about the Sabbath above what the Bible actually said. They said, your disciples have broken the law. In just a moment, Jesus, with the word of God, will prove them wrong. Folks, we must be so careful. We must be so careful not to exalt our opinion above the truth we find in God's word. You should never, ever, ever be afraid of the truth. Now look, if the truth changes you, and it will, and it does, I'm amazed. I've been studying and preaching the Bible for 20 years. And I study and learn the Scriptures, and God's Word, His truth, changes me. It reminds me and shows me things that I've been wrong about. Never be afraid of biblical truth. You know what you should be afraid of? You should be afraid of prideful arrogance and an unwillingness to conform yourself to the image of God. We need to become more and more like Jesus. That's why Jesus sends His word through the Apostle Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize. Man, we're always growing in the Lord. I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you're going to have mercy, don't be a Pharisee. The Pharisees exalted their preference over biblical principles. The Pharisees worshiped days and acts. The Sabbath, circumcision, events, feasts and meals, and the Hebrew calendar, and buildings, the temple. They worshiped all those things and held them in higher esteem than they did Jesus himself. Oh, it's easy. You've heard the old sayings of churches splitting over the color of the carpet. That's foolish. It's childish. It's sinful. It's Phariseeism. You've heard of churches falling to pieces over a program, falling to pieces over a event on a calendar. That's Phariseeism. It's sickening. It's not mercy. It's not the Spirit of Christ. It's not written in the Scriptures. We should not worship days, events, buildings, etc. You know what we should worship? Jesus. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ saving sinners from condemnation and hell forever. Jesus Christ who paid the price for our sins. Jesus Christ who loves us. Jesus Christ who frees us. Jesus Christ who it is that gives us rest and gives us the opportunity because of His mercy to show mercy. I will be merciful. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. Number two, I will have mercy. Number two, know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Look what the Scripture says in verse number three. But He said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Verse number five. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? What's Jesus? He gives two lines of thought with this same phrase. Have you not read, verse number three, verse number five. Have you not read, verse number five. What's the emphasis that Jesus wants to make? He's looking at the Pharisees. He says, look here, boys, you've got the Word of God. Have you not read? Again, in just a moment, he says, if you had learned what I told you in chapter 9 about having mercy instead of sacrifice, if you'd paid attention to Hosea 6:6 and learned and known God's Word, you would have prevented this mess. What's Jesus want the Pharisees to do? I'll tell you what Jesus wants the Pharisees to do, the same thing He wants you and me to do. Read God's Word. Study it. Know it. Learn it. If you've been sold a bill of goods by the devil that you can't read and understand God's Word, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. You can read it for yourself and you can know it and you can understand it. It's the only book that's ever been written that anytime you want to, you can sit down with the author and read it. Don't tell me you can't understand it. Take a little piece at a time and ask God to speak to your heart. And I know something, He will. Our teens at camp, so many of them committed again this year, a 10-day challenge, just 10 days. 10 days of reading God's Word for themselves. Maybe you should take it too. It's on Facebook. We've got specific things we're asking the teenagers to read. Open your Bibles. Read it for yourself. You see, if you're going to have mercy and you're going to have the Spirit of Christ and you're going to make big mistakes in your life, the only way you're going to do it is by not being a Pharisee, and number two, by knowing the Word of God. He says, have you not read? And here's what he says. He says, look here, Pharisees, I'm going to show you from the Bible why what my disciples have done by walking through plucking ears of corn is not wrong. Here's what he says. He begins with David in verse number three. He said, have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? Here's the picture. David has run for his life with a group of men by his side. He's hungry. The only thing for him to eat is the showbread in the temple. There's bread there that was specifically in the law designed for the priests and his dependents. The priests and his children. That's the only people that could eat the show bread according to the law. But Jesus says, do you remember in the Bible where when David went with the people with him and he asked the priest for the show bread and they ate it and God didn't condemn them? God didn't strike them dead? He says, you remember that? If you'd read the Bible, you'd understand that God is merciful and he exalted the needs of humans above the ceremonial law. You know that. Here in just a minute, Jesus is going to continue the same thought. We won't get into it today. But he looks at these men. The Pharisees get mad at him in just a minute for Jesus healing a man with a withered hand. And they say, hey, how many of you have a sheep and he gets in a ditch, you won't pull him out? Don't give me that. He says, God prefers mercy. He prefers mercy. If you're going to make an error, don't err on the side of judgment and wrath. Err on the side of mercy and love. He said, David, he ate the showbread and God didn't condemn him. Now, this is Jesus. By the way, Jesus, by just saying that, has confirmed to us that the Old Testament is the Word of God. He's confirmed to us that we can rely on the principles of the Old Testament, the stories we find in the Bible. He also speaks of the priest. Look what the Bible says in the next verse. Verse number 5. He says, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? He says, look, you've read in the law what the priests do. Now, they were being very picky, the Pharisees were. The disciples, they grabbed a piece of corn. It takes a lot of effort to pick an acre, but it doesn't take a lot of effort to pick an ear. They picked an ear of corn, they shucked it down, and ate it. And they condemned the disciples for harvesting, and they condemned the disciples for gleaning, removing it from the ear. But Jesus just simply says, boys, do you realize how silly you're being? He says, what did the priest do today? This was the Sabbath when he's having this conversation. He's like, what did the priest do today? What did the priest do? I'll tell you what the priest did on the Sabbath day. The priest on the Sabbath day, they got up extra early. The priest on the Sabbath day slew the sacrifices. The priest on the Sabbath day prepared the water. The priest on the Sabbath day, they carried the meat. They built the fire. The priest on the Sabbath day, they did all kinds of work. And Jesus says, do you not realize that every Sabbath day, the priest, we're talking about the priest, profane the Sabbath day. And God doesn't hold them guiltless for that. He says, what you're trying to do is ridiculous and it's irrational and it's just mean-spirited and cold and you need to have mercy. And what my disciples did is not wrong. And Jesus just makes it very clear. Pharisees, if you'd known the book, if you'd known God's word and had the Spirit of Christ, you wouldn't have made this mistake. How can I have mercy? How will I be merciful? Don't be a Pharisee. How will I be merciful? Know the word of God. Number 3, how will I be merciful? Exalt Jesus. Exalt Jesus. Look what the scripture says. Jesus continues his discourse with these Pharisees. And he says this, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. He compares the work that the priests are doing in the temple, making the sacrifice, building the fire, carrying the water. He says, look, guys, I understand the work of the temple. I understand it perfectly. He says, in your presence right now is one greater than the temple. He's speaking of himself. I'll just let you know something. Jesus was more important than the temple sacrifice. The word of Christ was more important than the work of the priest. The work of Christ was more important. It was the conclusion. It was the end. It was the perfection of the law. He says, I'm greater than the temple. I want to encourage you to do something. Worship Jesus more than you worship this building. If you worship this building, you're going to make a mess. You know what? The whole place could burn to the ground. And the Chilhowee Baptist Church would be alive and well. Because the Chilhowee Baptist Church is not a building, but it's a body of believers who voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. And our things, we take care of them because we believe that they belong to God. But we don't worship them because we worship Jesus. Jesus was greater than the temple. And some of the things we get sideways about is because we worship things and not the Savior. Stuff and not Jesus. Jesus says, I'm greater than the temple. He continues in verse number 7. He says, if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Exalt Jesus. If you exalt Jesus, you become merciful and you prevent big errors. You know what's sad to me? Through my short life, short time working with people, I've seen extra biblical things hurt people really bad. I don't like it. A law that's dreamed up in our hearts and our minds or something we've just always done, but it's not God's word, has been dealt with not mercifully, but with justice. And what happened? What did the Pharisees do? They said, you've condemned the guiltless. You've condemned the guiltless. They didn't do nothing wrong. Stop acting that way. They didn't do nothing wrong. Now, with the same breath, and I don't want you to think that this is some type of way to prove or the inroads to become modern or worldly, because it's not. The same Jesus, we exalt Jesus, he prevents us from majoring on things that aren't right, but he always makes us major on things that are right. He makes us emphasize sin and judgment. He makes us emphasize wrath and forgiveness and love and mercy. You see, when you exalt Jesus and worship Jesus, you become merciful. And finally, the Bible says this in verse number 8. Jesus speaking, he says, for the Son of Man, he's talking of himself. You look at these Pharisees who worship the Sabbath. Man, they're serious about it. He says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Jesus just says, here, look here, boys. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus says, I'm in control of the Sabbath. It's my Sabbath. He says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. When you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 and read the Ten Commandments, when the Bible says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, Jesus says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. How do I keep the Sabbath? I keep the Sabbath by honoring Christ and living for Jesus. Do you know something exciting about being a Christian in this New Testament era as opposed to being a Jewish person in the time of the law? The Sabbath was one day a week. According to the Bible, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And when we rest in the Lord and we put our trust in the Lord of the Sabbath, we don't have a Sabbath day, we have a Sabbath life, because every day, it's not a day, it's a person. Every day we have the opportunity, what Jesus had just said, to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How do we have mercy? Jesus says, you can have mercy if you'll exalt me to to the proper place. Make Jesus first. Make him king. Make him Lord. I'll have mercy. I know that in our lives, we tend to vengeance. I know in our lives, we tend to judgment. But the spirit of the child of God should be the spirit of mercy. That's what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted mercy. If you're going to have mercy and show mercy and be merciful, don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. Know the Word of God and exalt Jesus. Let's pray.